I call this the Pastor Honor Guard. Amen. And we are going to sing a song in a little bit in tribute to Pastor Storm. But first I'd like to open in a word of prayer, and Kevin's going to come and lead us in two of Pastor Storm's favorite songs. When I met with the family, Mrs. Storm looked at me and she said, "We're singing about the blood." And I said, "Amen, amen." And sometimes people leave instructions. This is what I want. This is what I want. And we know that Pastor Storm was washed in the blood and he was saved by the blood. Amen. And that's what he preached here for 20 years. Amen. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Okay. Father, thank you for Jesus today. Thank you, Lord, for our wonderful brother, Pastor Storm. Thank you, Lord, for this time where we can come and remember his life. And God, thank you for all the good things that he did for you. And God, now he's resting from his labors. And today, God, as we remember in song, as we worship, in the word of God being preached, as we hear testimonies, God, I just pray that you'd flood our hearts and minds with good memories. We pray, Lord, that you would comfort his wife. Wrap your loving arms around her. Thank you for a wonderful helpmeet that you gave Pastor Storm. God, we know behind every good man is a better woman. Thank you for her. And God, thank you, you're going to take care of her. And God, thank you for Florence Baptist Church. Thank you, Lord, for the folks that are the core of this work. Thank you for all the lives that were touched by Pastor Storm's ministry here. So today, Lord, we dedicate this time to you. And we ask, Lord, that you would bless this time. And we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Brother Kevin.
Well, good morning and welcome to Florence Independent Baptist Church. If you would, grab your hymnals and turn to hymn number 40. Are you washed in the blood? We'll do verses 1, 2, and 4. Are there hymnals out there? We'll do verses 1, 2, and 4. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood? In the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Verse 2. Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood? In the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Verse 4. Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin, and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood? In the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Amen. Now if you'll turn to, I don't have a hymn number. Hold on, give me 1 second. Power in the Blood. 50? 50. I didn't have a hymn number wrote down. I apologize. Hymn number 50. There's Power in the Blood. Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you o'er evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Verse 2. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. On the fourth, would you do service for Jesus your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily his praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Amen. Great singing. Thank you all very much.
Thank you, Brother Kevin. I appreciate the men of Florence Baptist Church helping Pastor Storm, stepping up to the plate. And there's a lot of pastors in the state of Arizona that were good friends with Pastor Storm. You don't go somewhere and stick there for 20-some years without making relationships. And one of the first churches, one of the first pastors I believe he met when he came here, was Pastor Kevin Cowling from Valley Baptist Church. And I'm going to have Brother Cowling come. Pastor Storm actually attended the church there before he had planted this church here. He's going to come and share some of Pastor Storm's favorite verses and his life verse as well. Pastor Cowling, would you come at this time, please?
I love Brother Storm, and on behalf of Valley Baptist Church, I'd like to say to the family that our thoughts and prayers are with you. And we loved him. He came to our church in 1999. I was a relatively new pastor, and what a blessing that your family was. Amen. And I remember planning that first vacation Bible school we had, and it was the gold rush of 99. And anything that Pastor Storm did, he went all out with it. And that's the way he was. I didn't know how crazy he was till we had that vacation Bible school. I mean, he went and found an old iron cart of some kind of mining cart and put it out in front of the church. And he had made wooden characters of little miners or something. And just what an encouragement he was to me, and I know to many of you as well. I loved him. He was my friend. And we'll miss him, but we look forward to seeing him again. He loved people. One thing about Brother Storm, he loved people, and he was willing to do whatever he could do to try to make those people's lives more special. And I saw that in his life many, many times. Several verses I'll read for you, maybe familiar. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 and 6, some of his favorite verses, each of these. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And then another one of his favorite verses was 2 Timothy and chapter 2 and verse number 15. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. And study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that's the other thing Brother Storm was so passionate about, was the word of God and declaring it faithfully. And you folks here from the church know that. And then Isaiah chapter 41 and verse number 10. Just read that this morning. And this was his life verse, and I think could be really helpful for all of us today. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness.
Amen. Praise the Lord. At this time, we're going to have the pastors come. And gentlemen, if you would come up here, and maybe Dr. Page, if you would take center and kind of be the lead on this. We're going to sing this just like we practiced it. But you know, Pastor Storm was kind of a spontaneous guy, wasn't he? Yeah. If he had an order of service, ignore it. He called that being led by the Spirit of God. Amen. And I being in the way, God led me. So when I got the call at 3 in the morning from Mrs. Storm, she said, Pastor Hughes, Dale said that something happened to him. I was supposed to call you right away. And then while I'm on the phone, Tuck calls me and says, Pastor Hughes, Pastor Storm says if something happens to him, I'm supposed to call you right away. And so a song went through my head when I'm talking to Mrs. Storm and to Tuck at 3 in the morning. This song, the first line of the song says, when my life work is ended and I cross the swelling tide, when the bright and glorious morning I shall see, I shall know my Redeemer when I reach the other side, and His smile will be the first to welcome me. See, His life work was ended, and He's with Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
And, you know, you say, well, he was 66. It shouldn't have ended that. I told his brothers down here, I said, yeah, he may have been 66 physically, but in storm years, he was 96.
Yeah.
The guy worked so much. So you said, did he work himself to death? Well, he didn't. He didn't rust out. And he got to die what he loved doing. Amen. And his wife told me that he really wanted to die here in the pulpit. But he had just preached a day and a half earlier than he went. So his life work has ended, but his life work will continue and bear fruit. So you listen as these preachers, who all of our life work is going to end someday, but hopefully it'll end being found faithful. Amen?
Amen.
Faithful unto death.
When my life work is ended and I cross the swelling tide, when the bright and glorious morning I shall see, I shall know my Redeemer when I reach the other side, and His smile will be the first to welcome me.
Yeah.
I shall know Him, and redeemed by His side I shall stand. I shall know Him by the print of the nails in His hand.
Verse 2.
Oh, the soul-thrilling rapture when I view His blessed face and the luster of His kindly beaming eye. How my whole heart will praise Him for His mercy, love, and grace that prepare for me a mansion in the sky. I shall know Him, and redeemed by His side I shall stand. I shall know Him, by the print of the nails in His hand.
Verse number 4, gentlemen.
Through the gates to the city in a robe of spotless white, He will lead me where no tears will ever fall. In the glad song of ages I will mingle with delight, and I long to meet my Savior first of all.
Yep.
I shall know Him, and redeemed by His side I shall stand. I shall know Him, by the print of the nails in His hand.
Amen. Thank you, gentlemen. What a wonderful tribute to a servant of God. One thing that I admired about Pastor Storm, and October is Pastor Appreciation Month, and today I'm going to share some things with you about what I appreciated about him. And I appreciated his zeal for souls. He loved soul winning. He knocked doors from Kearney to Mesa to Coolidge to Casa Grande to, you just name it, he would cover the area more than once. And Susan and Serena and Denise, are you guys going to do the song? If you guys would come, and when they told me they wanted to do this song, I was like, praise God. What a wonderful song right before the message of hope and comfort today. The song is One More Soul. One More Soul. Mrs. Storm, was it true that he led the caregiver to the Lord, Yvonne? He would witness to anybody and everybody, even if they wouldn't listen, because he knew the importance of one more soul. Amen.
The preachers are weary, the singers are tired, the church as we know it is losing its fire. Some are discouraged, yes, from marrying the lone, and we must determine to keep pressing on, cause if just one more soul, yes, were to walk down the aisle, yes, it would be worth every struggle, it would be worth every mile. A lifetime of labor is still worth it all if it rescues just one more soul. So preachers, keep preaching, and singers, go sing. Laymen, keep sharing that Jesus is King. The angels have gathered, they're surrounding the throne, and they'll start rejoicing for just one more soul. Cause if just one more soul were to walk down the aisle, it would be worth every struggle, it would be worth every mile. A lifetime of labor is still worth it all if it rescues just one more soul. Cause if just one more soul were to walk down the aisle, it would be worth every struggle, it would be worth every mile. A lifetime of labor is still worth it all if it rescues just one more soul.
Hey! Praise the Lord. Thank you, ladies. One more soul, it's worth it. Amen? Amen. Well, you know, it's always a blessing to come to Florence, and Pastor Storm and I met a little over 20 years ago. I was going to the Florence prison to preach and saw that sign there and put a little track in his door and said, call me. And so he called me, and I said, man, what are you doing? He says, I'm starting a church in Florence. I said, do you have any help? He goes, yeah, I got my mother, and I got my wife, and my stepdad. And I said, do you have any support? He says, well, I've been brokering some semi-loads of cheese. You remember when he was doing that? And he said, but that stops next week. And I said, what are you going to do for income? And he had rented a storefront there on that main road where you turn left to go to the prison. And he goes, God will provide. God will provide. And I said, well, I said, I can use some help. You can come into East Mesa Baptist and work in our food bank from 6 in the morning on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and drive our truck, go to about 10 stores, and we'll pay you. And he said, okay, I'll see you Monday morning. He would get up at 4:30 Monday morning after preaching all day Sunday, drive his little red Dodge Dakota. You remember that little Dakota? Had like 900,000 miles on it. And he would drive that Dodge Dakota in, and he would drive that food bank truck, and he would pick up all the food at the stores, unload the truck, come back, go calling, soul winning, work on his messages. And man, he did that till he had a heart attack on the truck. He called me one day and he said, I have chest pain. He was over by Fountain Hills in that area. And I said, how many stores do you have left to run? He said, oh, just a couple. I said, you think you can make it in? He goes, I'll try. About 20 minutes later, he called and says, I said, where are you at? He said, I'm at the hospital. I said, where's the truck? In the parking lot. What are we going to do with all the food? He said, I don't know, but I think I need emergency surgery. I'm having a heart attack. That was 20 years ago. God graciously gave him another 20 years to serve God. Pastor Storm was a unique man. He's a preacher, a friend, a father, a grandpa, a brother, a son, a servant of God. And I'm honored to do his service today. I love Pastor Storm. He loved people, he loved preaching, and he loved pistols. I'd go over to his house and he'd show me his guns. Man, that guy was well armed, well protected. Preaching, people, pistols, and anybody else? Packers. Oh, yeah. His pets, too. Then he told me about his newest dog. Is it Stella? Bella. I don't care about his dogs. He had to tell me about Bella. Bella was the sister or brother of one of the other ones. He loved these dogs. They entertained him. So it was Packers, people, pistols, preaching, and pets. Go to Proverbs 20 and verse 6. Proverbs 20 and verse 6. One thing we can say about Pastor Storm, and I ask people, what's the first word that comes to your mind when you think of Pastor Storm? You want to know what it is? Anybody want to guess? Faithful. Thank you very much. Proverbs 20 and verse 6. The Bible says in Proverbs 20 verse 6, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. Look at me. Look at what I've done. Most men will proclaim his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. Well, Florence Baptist Church found a faithful man. Amen. God found a faithful man when he said, who will go for me? Who will stand in the gap? And Pastor said, here am I. Send me. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord. I'll go. I thought of this the night that Mrs. Storm called, and I told my wife. We were up for like hours afterwards, and I said, the King, King Jesus, I said, the King sent his servant to Lodabar to rescue the cripple. God sent Pastor Storm, his servant, to Florence to preach to those that are crippled by sin. The halt, the maimed, the lame, those that needed somebody to love them unconditionally. He didn't care if they had money, because he didn't have any either. He was in good company. And the guy was amazing. I'm from North Dakota, okay? And he's from Wisconsin. And when the North Dakota blizzard met the Wisconsin storm, we collided. And I prided myself that I'm a pretty hard worker. Pretty hard worker for a preacher. You got food bank, you know all that, trucks and stores, and you guys that work the food bank, you know. But my hat went off to Pastor Storm. That man was a machine. He was one of the hardest working men. And my dad owned a construction company, block layer, brick layer. I mixed cement for block and brick. Hard work. He just would work till he would almost collapse. But he loved every minute of it. You know what they say? If you love what you do, you don't have to work a day in your life. So to him, it was something that he loved to do, looked forward to do, but it was his calling. Amen? And he was faithful. He was faithful in his calling. You don't have to turn there, but 1 Corinthians 4:2 talks about a requirement. And he met God's requirement. The Bible says it's required in stewards that a man be found what?
Faithful.
Was he found faithful?
Yes,
he was. And that was the requirement that God had. God didn't require a college degree from him, although in 1964 he got a BA. How many knew that? He was born again. Amen? He was a smart guy. He was really a smart guy. The Bible says he that winneth souls is what?
Wise.
Oh, yeah. And he inspected ACE schools for about 10 years across the state of Arizona. The guy was a school inspector. Did he come and inspect your school? Yeah. Did he find anything wrong? The guy was a smart guy. I called him Inspector Gadget. He would show me on his phone. He goes, look at this. And he'd punch up Florence Baptist, and he could see everything going on. He was spying on everybody. He goes, look at that. They're stealing food out of the food bank. It was crazy. He knew everything. Did he not, ladies? Yeah. I'm like, man, he was 6 years older than me, and he was a techie old guy. I don't know how he would learn that stuff, but he would just catch on. He liked that stuff. So he had a work ethic that was just out there. He had a work ethic, and it reminded me of Jesus. Jesus said, my meat was to do the will of my Father that sent me, and to finish his work. His work on earth was done. He crossed the swelling tide. I mean, how many of us want to be faithful till death? We want to be, but the thing is, are we going to be? You know, a lot of people can start out strong, Brother Stobelbein. They can start out, but they don't finish well. They don't finish well. You say, well, if you just fall over dead, you'll finish well while you're doing it. You know, I praise God that he didn't have some debilitating stroke and he's not laying in a nursing home in a vegetative state. Amen?
Amen?
Would he have wanted that? No. Would we have wanted that? No. But our selfishness, we want to have him just a little longer. I wanted to say goodbye, Pastor Hughes. I would have loved to have said goodbye to him. I would have loved that too. But God said, it's time for you to come now. Doesn't the Bible say the times of our lives are in his hands? It's appointed unto man once to die. You know, he knew all about appointments, didn't he? Cardiologist, dermatologist, you name it, he had the appointments. And if he didn't have one, Mrs. Storm had one. He said, we're in town. I said, oh, what's she in town for? Doctor's appointment, doctor's appointment, doctor's appointment. But there's one appointment that we're all going to keep, and that's the appointment when God calls us. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. So when Pastor Storm stands before God, what's God going to say to him? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen? How many want to hear that? Man, that's what I want to hear. That's what I want to hear. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I think the reason Pastor Storm and I got along so good is we were both kind of out-of-the-box guys. You could not, I think when Pastor Storm was born and asked his older brothers this, he kind of broke the mold. And he was totally out of the box. And in fact, I think the only box he's ever been in is this one he's in today. Amen? And when you think of somebody that's unconventional, non-traditional, but has a burden to reach people for the Lord, just as Brother Cowling said, when he did something, he did it big. I like coming and preaching for big days sometimes, an anniversary, because there'd always be dinner on the grounds. And Mrs. Storm would cook so much food. Pan upon pan upon pan. And then he'd smoke stuff. Well, he is in Florence. No. It would be brisket and pork and ribs. And what else did he smoke?
Turkeys.
Yeah. I mean,
Yeah. If he saw it, he'd smoke it. Is this being live streamed?
Hit rewind.
When he worked at our church part time at the food bank ministry, we built a new building in 2001, and after he'd had the surgery, he came over and helped us work on our new building. I have pictures of him helping me saw some concrete. Before we built the new building, there was this double wide mobile home on the property where I lived in 92, 93 when we came to East Mesa. And it was right smack dab where the new building was going to be. So I said to Pastor Storm one day, "Hey, you know anybody that can use that double wide mobile home there? We got to move it." And he said, "Well, I could use it. I'm living in a little trailer in Apache Junction in this little snowbird park." He goes, "I'll take it. I said, "But it's a big double wide, 24 by 60. It's got to be split and moved. How are you going to do that, Pastor Storm?" He goes, "Watch me." The guy started tearing this double wide mobile apart. He split it in half, arranged somebody to haul it, put it in Coolidge, put it back together, and they're still living in it today. It's a 78, 42 years old. He's remodeled it. He's upgraded it. It looks beautiful. Beautiful. There was nothing this guy could not do, would not do. He had a limited vocabulary. Impossible was not in it. You can't do that was not in it. I won't do that was not in it. He would do what he felt God wanted him to do. I remember he called me up and he says, "You got to come look at this building with me." They were over in the storefront. And I said, "Okay, good. I think you need to get a building." So he brings me here. We walk in and it had been shut down for 10 years, 15 years. It had been shut down. But it was like the people walked out and locked the door. There was cobwebs everywhere. It was, mice. There was food still in the fridge in the basement. It was dead birds everywhere. It looked like out of a scary movie. And he goes, "What do you think, Brother Hughes?" And you hate to squash a guy's enthusiasm. And you hate to squash his zeal. And I'll take on a project. I'm not afraid of work. But I looked at this place and I go, I don't know. Because I didn't want to say, "Yes, go for it," and then it just blow up in his face. And I didn't want to say no and discourage him if it was God's will. So I did say this. "Who will help you? Who will help you do this?" You know what he said? "God will provide somebody." You remember Daryl? God provided a man to help Pastor Storm named Daryl. He was the maintenance man at the storefront. He came over to fix something and Pastor Storm led him to the Lord. He became Daryl. Is Lori here today? Lori? Daryl, Pastor Storm loved Daryl. Daryl was a worker too. Daryl worked at the prison. Daryl was National Guard. Daryl got called up to Iraq. Daryl was killed in action. Pastor Storm got to do his funeral at the high school in Florence. He called me up and he said, "Brother Hughes, will you help me do this?" And I said, "Man, what are you talking?" He goes, "The governor's going to come in a helicopter. All the big brass from the military will be there. The National Guard will be there. The town of Florence will be there. And I want to give them all the gospel." And I said, "Man, Pastor Storm, what an opportunity you have." He goes, "Well, I want you to help me." I says, "What am I, a garage band? What am I, an opening act? You can do this." He goes, "I just need you for prayer support, moral support." I mean, he put together a slideshow. I kid you not. How many people were in that auditorium that day? 2,000 people. He preached the most awesome, best salvation message I have ever heard in my life. And I've been saved since 18. I'm 60. 42 years. The man delivered the goods for God. And I don't know, Brother Cowling, how many hands went up at that service. If for no other reason Pastor Storm was called to Florence, it was for such a time as that. I mean, so long story short, he makes the deal. He was Monty Hall with the, was it the Episcopals that had this? Presbyterians? He makes a deal, a smoking deal. And he calls me up and he goes, I got it. I said, how'd you get it? He goes, God. And I thought, oh, I was glad it was God told him and not me. And man, he tore into it. And I can't tell you how many times he's upgraded and remodeled. Just depends on how many fires. But anyway, the guy lived by faith. He walked by faith. He loved souls. He was wise. He that winneth souls is wise. Proverbs 19:17. You don't have to turn there. The Bible says, he who hath pity on the poor lendeth to the Lord, and that which he hath given will be repaid. And you could ask Mrs. Storm today, Mrs. Storm, did you and Pastor Storm ever lack for anything? No. God provided it all. Whenever they needed it, it was there. It would come from unlikely sources. David said, I'm old. I was young, now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. Pastor Storm would haul food to Kearney and Coolidge, and he had some connections. Just the Thursday before he died, he called me and said, Brother Hughes, you want some food? And I'm like, what do you got? Well, I had a semi-load of 8 pallets. And I said, oh man, I don't have room for that. He goes, well, I packed our boxes full, and if I have to send it back if you don't want it. I said, I don't have room. God had blessed him with food sources. And he wanted to share it. In 2015, just to let you know what kind of a heart this man had. Our food bank truck was going down the road, and somebody pulled out, Brother Cowling, and smashed our food bank truck. David, are you here? David was in the food bank truck and knocked the cab off the frame about a foot, totaled the truck out. And if you know anything about food bank ministries, you have stores that you have to run certain times, certain days, and if you don't, another food bank will come in and take it away from you. It's dog-eat-dog. So I called Pastor Storm and I said, Pastor Storm, our truck is totaled out. Can you help? We'll be there tomorrow. For 3 months, Florence Baptist Food Bank ran East Mesa Baptist Food Bank stores. We didn't miss a day, we didn't miss a beat, and we didn't lose a store. Amen. You remember that, Doc? Pastor Storm was unbelievably accommodating. He had a big heart. He loved God. He loved people, but he had adversity. Go with me to Proverbs 24 and verse 10. Proverbs 24 and verse 10. You know, we all have problems in the ministry. The ministry would be great if it wasn't for people. Proverbs 24, and we know that the man's health was shot. He was in a plane crash in 94. He had multiple things wrong with him. But if you're from Wisconsin, you're not a crybaby. Amen. And if you're from North Dakota, you don't even know you're sick until you die. So I like this when I talk to him. Yes? What, Brother Hughes? He could be in so much pain and he wouldn't complain. And I just to think about it blows my mind. Proverbs 24 and verse 10. If thou faint in the day of adversity, if you give up, if you lay down, if you quit, if you faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is what? Small. That's why Pastor Storm was like Atlas. He could bench press any problem the devil threw at him because he was strong. I'm talking strong. Because the adversity that man had, I won't tell you all the problems he had, but just try to think of any problem you could think of. He had it. But he's an overcomer, amen? He's a survivor, not a quitter. That's why, man, if you were his friend, he was your pastor, and if he led you to the Lord, consider yourself blessed. He was a strong man because he didn't faint in adversity. He was a wise man because he was a soul winner. He was a faithful man because that was the requirement that God had for him. He was a hard-working man. God called him to finish the work that he was called to do. And he persevered. He persevered with the problems of life. Quit was not in his vocabulary. God helped him build a lighthouse in Florence. I call Florence Baptist Church the embassy of heaven. And Pastor Dale Storm was God's ambassador. Amen? There was a man sent from God, and his name was Dale Storm. No, that was John the Baptist. That was Dale Storm too. Any God-called preacher is sent from God. Amen? And you know this lighthouse here? This embassy of heaven here? It would be a shame that the work wouldn't continue on. That's why Florence Baptist Church, rally round the banner. Amen? Keep it going on. Marching on! Marching on! For Christ count! Don't give up. Well, Moses is dead. You know what? God sent Dale Storm here. God can send another man. That's why you guys have to rally around another man. None of this stuff. You know, one thing Brother Dale didn't like, Mr. Storm, he didn't like drama and trauma, did he? He did not like drama and trauma. And man, he called me up and said, hey, I got this going. And it was stuff like, it would keep you up for days and give you a sick stomach and give you a migraine headache. And God helped him through it. Because Galatians, you don't have to turn there, but Galatians 5:13 says, by love, serve one another. You know what else Dale Storm reminded me of? Remember in the 60s and 70s, they had those toys. They were kind of like a blow-up balloon, and you could sock it, and it would go down, but it would come back up. You remember that? He took so many hits, but he turned the other cheek. But for him to turn the cheek, he had to do this. He turned the other cheek. He loved people. Somebody could leave the church talking trash. The door was still open. They could come back. What a guy. He didn't have a vengeful bone in his body. He loved his family, his daughters, his brothers, his grandkids. He loved God. There's just no ifs, ands, or buts. And you know, as we said earlier, when he stands before God, he's going to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Him and I witnessed to people together, and sometimes we tag team, like two wrestlers, you know, on the same team. Or sometimes when we were talking to somebody that was lost, that didn't know Christ as their Savior, and I would say, if you were to die today, and you stood before God, and he said, why should I let you into heaven? What would you say? And the person would say, I'm good, or they would say, well, I ain't done nothing really bad. Then I'd look over at Pastor Storm, and I'd go, Pastor Storm would say, well, the Bible says it's by grace, unmerited favor. For by grace are you saved, not of yourself. All your works are as filthy rags, not of yourself. It's a gift of God. And he would say, all you have to do is receive the gift. You don't have to work for it. You receive the gift. It was bought and paid for by Jesus. That's why he liked to sing about the blood.
Because what does the blood do? Wash away our
sins.
You know, some people think they're going to get to heaven because they're good enough. Well, if you could be good enough to get to heaven, why did Jesus have to die for us? It was 100% Jesus. You know, on the big sin scale, here's the worst sinner in Florence. Here's the best sinner in Florence. We're probably not the worst sinner, and we're probably not the best sinner. We're somewhere in between, but we're still all what? Sinners. And so that he would go through that, then I would say, would you like to put your faith, hope, and trust in Jesus Christ? Would you like to ask him to forgive you? Would you like to tell him you can't save yourself? Would you like to tell him you're not good enough to go to heaven on your own? Would you like to tell him that you believe he died for you, was buried for you, and rose again the third day? Would you like to do that? And the person will say, yeah, I would. And I look at Pastor Storm, and Pastor Storm would pray the sinner's prayer with him. He'd pray something like this. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. And they, people would repeat it after him if they were a little self-conscious where they didn't want to say it out loud. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I ask you to come into my heart and forgive my sins and save my soul. I put all my faith, all my trust, and all my hope in him. And then Pastor Storm would say, did you mean that with your heart? Oh, yes. Then on the authority of God's word, the Bible says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So it wasn't the prayer. It wasn't the prayer that saved you. It's who you're praying to. Amen? So I had the joy and the privilege of seeing him lead folks to Christ. That's what he liked to do. And he would call me up and say, what are you preaching on Sunday? And I said, the Bible. And another favorite saying he had was, you remember this? And Mrs. Storm says it too. Oh, my soul. Oh, my soul. And it was funny because, and he had a good sense of humor. And it was, sometimes you have those inside jokes. And I thought to myself, when Pastor Storm gets to heaven, and all the people that he's led to the Lord from his ministry these 20 years, and he sees them, there's going to be joy. There's going to be joy. Hey, Pastor Storm! Hey! When did I lead you to the Lord? When did I meet? I was in line at the food bank, and you come out and led me to the Lord. I was a snowbird in Florence Gardens, and you led me, Lord. I came to one of the patio sales at your church, and you told me Jesus loves me. I'm glad that you accepted Jesus, and that you're in heaven, and that you're not paying for your sins in an awful place called hell. You see, the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Yeah, some people are worse sinners than others. And when I told him I was preaching at the prison when I met him, I said, are you preaching at the prison? And he said, no. He goes, but you can preach to those in the prison. I'll preach to keep them out of the prison. And he had prison workers, where's Tuck? Prison workers, and he had people that worked in this town, but he did not feel that he wanted to go into the prison. But he wanted to deliver people from going to prison. And really, when you think about it, that awful place called hell is a picture of prison. Only you don't get out. You don't get out. Once you go there, you're there forever. And you have to pay for your sin forever. And that motivated. You know, sometimes people say, what motivated Pastor Storm? Money? No. What motivated Pastor Storm? Well, he was going to be a big shot someday. No. You know what motivated him? The love of Christ constraineth him. That's why he did it, because he loved God. And he loved people. And he wanted to take as many people to heaven with him as he could before he went to heaven. And only God knows the fruit of his ministry.
But we know that God blessed a man that was sold out, that was consecrated, that was committed to the calling that God had called him to do. My wife, on the way here, I said, read my notes out loud to me while I'm driving the car here. And she's reading these notes and she goes, she got to this point. She goes, baked a cake from scratch. She looks at me and she goes, what is that? I said, he built a church out of nothing. Ground zero from scratch. He baked a cake from scratch. When he came to Florence, there was no Florence Baptist Church. When he came to Florence, there isn't the people in heaven. There wasn't the people going to heaven when he came as there was when he left. You can always tell a successful ministry because of how the man leaves his mark and his testimony on the community. This is an embassy. This is a lighthouse. And today, maybe you're here. Maybe you're outside. Can they hear me outside? Maybe you're outside in the chairs. And maybe Pastor Storm marriage counseled you. Maybe he married you. Maybe he buried a family member. Maybe he prayed for you. Maybe he gave you food out of the food bank. Maybe he gave you furniture out of the furniture patio sale ministry. Maybe he just took time to talk to you and was friendly to you. And today, God has spoken to your little heart. Maybe you're out there in the chairs or you're in here. And you're not 150% sure that if you died today, tomorrow, next week, or next month, that you'd go to heaven. You don't know that for sure, but you would like to know that. There would be nothing better than someone to receive Christ as their Savior and obtain eternal life through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, through the grace of God, than today at Pastor Storm's service. Amen? So, to be true to our calling and to be true to the mission of Florence Baptist Church to show the concern for the souls of men, maybe today there'll be just one more soul. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, no running in and out, no talking, please. Cell phones, texting, very important minute, very important. Those outside, please close your eyes and bow your heads. If you are not 150% sure that you'd go to heaven if you died today, tomorrow, next week, or next month, but you would like to know that, I want to pray for you. I'll not call your name. I'll not come to you. But if you would like to be saved today with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, and you want to know that you're going to heaven, I want to remember you in my prayer today. So with our heads bowed and eyes closed, who would say, Pastor Hughes, I'm that one more soul. I am that one more soul. Pray for me. I want to see Dale again in heaven. I want to go to heaven when I die, and I want to make sure I'm going to heaven when I die. I want to trust Christ as my Savior today. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, would you just slip your hand up? Just slip it up. Thank you. Thank you. Someone else quickly. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you, young man. Somebody else, don't be shy. Yes, sir. Thank you. Right there. Yes, sir. Thank you. Someone else. You don't. Thank you. I see that in the back corner, ma'am. Thank you. Someone else. Pastor Hughes, remember me. Remember me. Someone else. Just slip it up. Put it right back down. God sees you. God sees your heart. God knows your heart. And God loves you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, that means die and go to hell, should not perish, but have everlasting life. Someone else, quickly before we pray. Someone else, just slip it up. I want to remember you. I want to remember you. Outside in the chairs, raise your hand and pray after me. In your heart, believing that God will save you. Right in here, in your heart, pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. Dear Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart and forgive me of my sins. I put all my faith, all my trust, and all my hope in you. I can't save myself, but I believe you died for me.
You were buried for me, and you rose again the third day for me. Thank you for saving me. I ask this the best I know how. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, please tell us later. That would be a time of rejoicing for the Storm family. And just remember, it's not the prayer that saves you, it's who you prayed to. So I am going to now continue on with our service. I didn't mention much about the school, because the school was a whole ministry in itself, and young people were trained, taught to read. Pastor Storm could take kids that were struggling, and Mrs. Storm, and bring them up to a level, graduate them, they'd go on to college. How many here went to the school? Raise your hand. Look at that. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. And He loved you kids. I mean, what He put up with you kids. I couldn't do it. No. And Brother Cowling knows what it's like having a school. And we're going to have one of the graduates from last year. Where's Obed? Obed wanted to say something, and the family wanted Obed to say something. I don't know, was he Pastor Storm's pet? Preacher boy. You're the pet preacher boy. All right. God bless you, Obed.
That's something. Yeah, that's something what she said a lot. Yes, it is. Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that we had so far, Lord, and for the phenomenal message that we heard about the great and godly man that was Pastor Storm, Lord. I pray that everyone here has gotten something out of it and has learned something. And thank you for those who are saved today already, Lord. Please bless this message, Lord, and allow everyone to get something out of it, Lord. And please bless everyone here. And please bless this message and allow me to preach it as you would want to preach, Lord. In your name, amen. Today each of us have gathered here, of course, for Pastor Storm's funeral. And as Pastor Hughes was mentioning, he was a great and godly man. He loved the Lord. He sought the Lord God with all his heart, soul, and mind. Like he said, the school ministry was a ministry in itself. I wouldn't be who I am today, and I wouldn't be where I am today without his ministry and without the schooling that he gave me. We battled a lot with a lot of different subjects, math, English, and worst of all, I swear it was the subject that belonged with Satan himself, trigonometry. It was not a good subject. Pastor Storm, of course, when he was there, the love he had for everyone was inspiring. He always said that every student there was like his grandkid, and to me he was like a grandfather and like a mentor. And although he may have left us to be with the Lord, and praise God, we know that he's rejoicing now. And that he has joy eternal in the presence of the God which he loved so much, with all his heart and soul, and everything he had. He served him with everything. And so he, so although he is rejoicing now, you know, he also left a great ministry for us to fulfill, as you know, and everyone here has a testimony to that. You know, I believe that everyone here, there's not a single person here who hasn't been touched by the ministry of Pastor Storm. So if you would allow me a bit of your time, I would like to preach a bit on continuing that. So it's never easy to see one of God's servants go. You know, in Deuteronomy chapter 34, reading verses 7 and 8, we see that the children of Israel were in a scenario similar to ours. You know, Deuteronomy 34, verses 7 and 8, you can turn there if you would like, but I'll read it. It says, "And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days, so the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended." Now, as we have read in those verses, the children of Israel were in a scenario similar to ours. You know, they had just lost Moses. They like us had also lost a great and godly man, a man who loved the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his mind, a man who was humble, kind, compassionate, tender. He was there for them when he needed them. When the children of Israel would backslide or would turn to idolatry like they did with the golden calf, Moses had been there to, you know, kind of grab them by the face and say, "Turn back to God." He had been there to help. He had been there to help them turn back to God. It may not have been easy for the children of Israel. It may not have been ideal for Moses to go. You know, he had been there with them for so long, through so much. You know, much like Pastor Storm has been there for each of us, and how he had been there for me throughout my life. All the children of Israel probably had varying relationships with Moses. You know, some of them are close to him, naturally, and some of them are far away from him. But as you read in verse 8, it says, "All the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab for 30 days." You know, they probably wept enough to start a new flood, okay? to flood the earth. At least, okay. So, you know, and it was natural because they loved him and cared for him, and he loved them and cared for them again. He had turned them back for God, and he had done so much for them. And suddenly God had called him. God had called home his servant. at least he had called home one servant, but he didn't call Moses home before having another man set up. In Deuteronomy 34:9 it says, "And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hand upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him, and did as the Lord commanded Moses." So as we read in that verse, despite the fact that God had called home one of his most faithful servants. And despite the fact that the children of Israel were weeping and crying, as we are here, as we are today, that doesn't change the fact that the work of God must continue. The torch has to be passed on. And Joshua in this verse, he was the man which God shows after Moses to continue his walk and to take care of the children of Israel. Joshua had been with Moses a lot. You know, he was when Moses sent out 12 men to spy on Canaan. You know, Joshua was one of two to give a good report. And in Exodus 33:11 calls him a servant of Moses. And even in Exodus 24:13-18, he was allowed to go halfway up Mount Sinai. My point is, for years Joshua had time to learn from Moses, to see how Moses did things, to see the right and the correct ways, and the maybe not so correct ways to do things. Because no servant of God is perfect, and no sovereignty of God is perfect. No one's going to do things right 100% of the time. Like when, when Moses struck the rock when he was supposed to talk to it. But God had chosen a man to continue the walk and to continue to the ministry, and that's where we're at today. So turning to Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 2. Which says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." You know, Pastor Storm, throughout his life, or at least in all the time I knew him, he was a great example of these verses. He always ran full throttle for the honor and for the glory of God. You know, like Pastor Hughes said, not even heart attacks could stop him. most people they think, okay, maybe I should slow down. Not him. He was thinking, I just gotta go faster. He was like a Sonic the Hedgehog. Gotta go fast. He kept on going and running for the honor and glory of God. You know, he had set aside every weight and every besetting sin which does so easily beset us, so he could run full speed for the honor and for the glory of God. He was like a man in a relay race. Because in a relay race, it's like maybe a few people, and the fast guy he receives the baton and he runs with the baton full speed. He runs to the baton not for his own honor and glory. He's not thinking, "Man, I look so great right now. Man, while I'm running, I look so cool." He's always thinking ahead of the next person and always thinking for God's glory. That's the way Pastor Storm was. He always thought more of others than he did of himself. He started strong. Like Pastor Hughes said, a lot of people, they can start strong, but they might not stay strong, and they might not finish strong. But, you know, anyone who knows him knows that's not how it was with Pastor Storm. He started strong, he stayed strong, he finished his course strong. And now we must pick up where he left on. God has called one of his servants home. He calls home Pastor Storm on October 6, 2020, to be home with him to rejoice eternally. But we who are left behind must still continue the ministry. We must accept the baton which has been passed to us. The ministries, the shops, the school, the shops, the school, the food bank, everything which has been started must continue for the honor and for the glory of God. and it may not be easy or ideal, and it may not be what we want to, but it's what God would want, and it's what Pastor Storm would want. To see the ministries continue until one day when Christ calls each of us home, either the rapture or when we all pass. So that we may hear, "Oh, well done, thou good and faithful servant," much like I'm sure Pastor Storm had received with how much he loved the Lord, with how much he walked for God. But much like Moses, Pastor Storm has left a phenomenal ministry behind. He left footprints to follow. And now it falls onto each of us to continue for the honor and glory of God, and to make sure that these great walks which have been started for the honor and glory of God continue. And so that one day when each of us get to heaven, we may hear a "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Okay. And I would like to close with prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord, and for this message, Lord. Please bless everyone here who may be grieving, Lord, and please bless today. Please bless this message, Lord, and allow God and something out of it, Lord. In your name, amen.
What a wonderful tribute. Thank you.
This time, we have some folks that have been picked to give a eulogy. Do we have a list of those folks on the eulogy? Who, Scott? Okay.
I'm not a public speaker, but we've all cried a lot lately. About 20 years ago, I made a phone call. I'm going to tell you about that call. It was a little more than 20 years ago. It went something like this, and I'll paraphrase it. Phone rang and picked up on the end, hello, and I said, this is Scott Beery. I was told by your daughter I needed to call you. And in a gruff voice, what for? I said, I went on a date with your daughter, but she said I had to call you before she would say yes to another. Very gruffly, he says, let me ask you some questions first. I said, okay. He says, what makes you think you're worthy enough to take my daughter on a date? And I was rattled. I said, I don't know. I really don't know her yet. I'd like to know. And he says, well, let me ask you some more questions. What about your job? How long have you been there? Because work is important. And sheepishly answered, about 3 weeks. He said, what about your schooling? You're in Bible college. Are you going to be a preacher? I said, no, sir. He said, oh, you what are you in school for? And I said, I'm there to become a teacher. He says, oh, you want to teach? I said, no, not really. He says, what if I call the college? What are they going to say about you? I said, I really don't know. I'm thinking of the demerits I'd recently received. And then the gruffness changed as a soft voice came across and he says, well, more important than all that, are you in college because you want to serve God? I said, yes, as best I'd like to. A long pause, and he says to me, well, I got a call earlier today from my daughter, and I'm supposed to tell you to leave her alone. That she didn't know how to tell you that she didn't want you around her at all. So I'm supposed to tell you to leave her alone, that you didn't pass the test. But I think that... after talking to you, I think you should ask her out again. The conversation continued, and if you ever talked to Pastor Storm on the phone, you know that he was known for being pretty abrupt. Sometimes the conversation was just a few seconds long. But that conversation was about 40 minutes, one of the longer ones I ever had on the phone with him. But that relationship grew. We found common ground. He became in a couple years after that, he became my father-in-law. And then after that, he became an example of a father. Most importantly, he became a friend. Those conversations on the phone would continue. And in those few brief seconds that he'd be on the phone with you, he could convey so much more than words. He knew he cared. As her father-in-law, he never interfered, but he was always there when we needed him. I watched him love my wife, spoil my girls every chance he had, loving them each in their own way. He always had a good corny joke for me that we'd laugh at, or we'd watch a movie together and he'd repeat the lines incorrectly and laugh left them very loudly. The jokes usually were about my mother-in-law. They were, and they were only jokes because everyone knew how much he loved his wife.
Man.
He lived in pain with countless physical things wrong with him for as long as I knew him. I never saw them use them as an excuse. I remember him patiently showing my girls how he worked with leather or cleaned a gun or he carved meat. His hands contorted, stiff, patient. As alluded earlier, he wasn't even able to turn around correctly. If you rode with him in a car, you know what that was like. I always offered to drive if I could. But he always found a way to love people. Always. It was more important for him to love his life for others than to worry about himself. He poured his life into the service of his God. A true example of one broken and spilled out. And I know that we're saying goodbye temporarily. But I'm over this talking to my friend. It's an honor and a testimony for as many people who come out. I've been at many funerals where it was me and a few others. For men who lived their lives for themselves. Dale Storm didn't do that. He lived his life for each one of us in the service of his God.
Is there someone else from the family? I have two love letters from the daughters, and they would like me to share them with you. Two perspectives, which when I read these, when they gave them to me today, it's just a very loving, kind tribute. This is from Dion. She lives in Wisconsin. Dion, would you wave to everybody if you didn't see? That's the daughter. Says, as I sit and think about what to say, there are many memories that soar through my head. My earliest memory of my dad was him carrying me in my sleeping bag over his shoulder like a bag of toys and saying, ho, ho, ho. The next memories are catching worms outside the grocery store to go fishing and eating donuts made there every morning. They were the best donuts. Our life with our dad was fun. He was always asking us to pull his finger. Give us a snake bite or have a contest to see how many times we could crack our gum. He was the champ at that. I would ride the motorcycle with him to work when I was 4, and his idea of a great lunch was Parmesan cheese out of a can. We grew up in a neighborhood that was safe and full of love, a neighborhood that had pool parties in our backyard. We went Christmas caroling, we had Charlie's Cooking, Johnsonville Brat parties. The memories are numerous. I learned that from him, that life could be fun. He definitely was the life of the party, one that never seemed to end. He always liked having a good time. Our family had trials too. Some of them were life-altering. Diosa and Grandpa Storm being taken home to the Lord. That was their little baby they had. Denise and her epilepsy. Me getting diabetes. You were what, 9? 9 years old. And almost a life-ending car accident on our way to Ohio. My car accident when I was 16. The police career ending, slipping on the ice. The plane crash that almost took Mom, Denise, and Dad. And the move to Arizona, and me losing my eyesight, going blind, Anna's heart condition, almost losing Mom to spinal meningitis, and all of their continuous health struggles. All of these things could have and should have brought a man down for the count, but not my dad. He kept us strong, held tight to his faith, always tried to make everyone laugh. As you know, just remember, it could be worse. Or it could be me. It was always him. He got that from his Grandpa Marty. Or, do you have a Hertz donut? He had a lot of those. There are some important life lessons that I learned from my dad. The first is not to let life get you down and always keep a positive attitude. He also frequently told me to work hard, keep your head down, and push forward. Sounds like a Packers game. This was to keep me out of drama at work. a job that was never ending for him. He also taught me how to shoot a gun, drive on snowy roads. That skill is used the most for me. Not one that you people from Arizona need much. I will miss our morning talks over the phone. Some of them at 4 a.m. because I forgot about the time difference. I'm blonde and I can't do the math. Never fear. I'm a banker. I'll miss him cheering me on for my career. Listening to me when I had a bad day. I will miss the Packer game recaps and the how's your weather when we had 3 feet of snow and how that is terrible. I'm so tired. You tell me I'm so tired from shoveling sunshine today. I'll miss the pictures of the dogs and the stories about all of you. It is because of his updates that I know a lot about all of you. Nothing can fill this void for me. His loss will always be there for me. I could keep going, but I'll end it with this. God's strength and God's guidance will carry us through this huge loss we all feel. Please remember to work hard, keep your head down, and push forward. We need to take his place, make someone laugh at their lowest moment, because that's what he did for all of us. Thank you, Dion. That was beautiful. Denise, that's Scott's husband. Reverse. Denise, Scott's wife. You know that girl that didn't like him? Denise says, my dad, and I asked her what the first word that came to her mind about her dad on the phone last night, and she said faithful. Soul winning was important to my dad, and I used that verse in the sermon for him today, he that winneth souls is wise. And then she said, my dad was not ashamed of the gospel. He would witness to anybody, even if you had tattoos and no teeth. He was not intimidated. He didn't care. I think his mantra was, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation. He loved to preach. Oh, he liked to preach. One time he was filling the pulpit at East Mesa Baptist, and he had not been out of the hospital very long. And I was out of town probably, and maybe Dr. Page remembers this. He had lost some weight and his pants were a little baggy, and his cuffs, you know where this is going? His cuffs, he was preaching and he gets excited when he preaches, and his cuff caught on his heel of his sin. Do you remember that? And he was tripping and he starts going like this, and he wipes out and falls flat on his butt. And he got a big, what do you call those? Hematoma on his butt from falling on his butt in the pulpit because he caught his pant leg. But the funny part was, and I got the CD because as he was falling and you could hear it crash on the lapel, he goes, crash and burn! Crash and burn! He loved preaching. And if you'll listen, I listened to his last sermon last Sunday morning on live stream. And he said, some people leave the church because they get, I'm going to say it, butt hurt. I thought he got butt hurt in my pulpit. He got butt hurt in my church. So he was faithful. This is good, Denise. He was accepting of others and situations that the Lord placed in his path. He had patience with people. He knew that they probably weren't where they should be, but he wanted God to bring them where God wanted them to be. He dealt with a lot of problems. Some pastors would just say, I have had it. So he was accepting of others. He would accept people where they were at. He would love them where they were at. I don't think my dad had any enemies. He never spoke down or ill of anyone. That's so true to form. He was not only faithful, he was accepting. My dad was thoughtful. He was thoughtful of others' physical and spiritual needs. He would drive 50 or 100 miles to go to the hospital the other side of Phoenix. Somebody was having surgery. Bury one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. The food bank, he wanted to feed people. The school, he wanted to teach people. At Christmases, when there was a needy family, he'd give out toys. He was always doing acts of kindness for others, being mindful of the needs of others. He was hardworking, full-time dairy procurement, part-time police officer, EMT, firefighter, ACE school inspector, pastor, mentor, teacher, food bank truck driver. He was a hard worker, and he was encouraging. My dad always looked on the bright side of things. He was kindly affectionate in brotherly love. He was so encouraging. And he was realistic. He didn't live with his head in the clouds, impractical, but looked at everything logically, practical. One thing I appreciated about Pastor Storm on this line was his Christianity was practical so he could practice it. And last but not least, my dad believed Luke 1:37, with God, all things are possible. All things are possible. I would like to have Tuck come, and then Kevin, would you guys come? These guys have kind of been the glue that's been holding this together, and there's others. But these guys love Pastor Storm, Mrs. Storm. They want this church to go on. So I'm going to have these guys say something for about, we're way over time, but who cares? Pastor Storm always preached too long anyway. Tuck, why don't you say something about Pastor Storm real quick, and then a prayer. And then Kevin, you say something about Pastor Storm, and then a prayer. And then we'll proceed.
Just something real quick. I think of all the things that Pastor used to say, and because I'd ask him how he's doing, he'd say, "Go finer than frog's hair." And okay, and then there's sometimes he'd say, you know, something would happen, and I was like, "You're all right?" He goes, "Yeah, I'm tougher than whale poop." So I Googled that one right there, and I showed him what it said, and I said, "You know, whale poop is not that tough." And I after that, he never said that to me again. He threw that one out. So another time, I came in, and he goes, "Hey, you want to see something really funny?" He was really proud of the camera systems. And I said, "Really funny?" He said, "Yeah, come check this out." And he was on the monitor, and he was showing me. He goes, "This happened just a little bit ago." And he showed a picture of he was coming in and out of the shed. That him and a couple other people were loading stuff in the shed, and he was coming out and getting more stuff. Anyway, he just picked up a couple of milk crates worth of stuff and was taking them in there, and he forgot to step up, and he wiped out, and he laughed, and I was like, "Wow, are you all right?" And he showed me his legs, and his legs were all tore up on the shins, but he just thought that was funny. So I was like, he laughed. I was like, "Well, okay, that is funny. That looks funny." And I got a good laugh out of it too. So. But it was always a pleasure to be around him, even when he was mad. I always knew he loved me. And the last thing he said to me, while I was talking to him at the Explorer after church, one of the last things he said to me, we were discussing some stuff. He said, "You know, Tuck, I'm just the conductor on this train that we have here." He goes, "And for years I've watched people get on the train, and then some people get off, and then others get on the train, and some other people get off." He goes, "My job has always been to keep this train rolling down the tracks."
Amen.
And I just want to ask everybody, anybody that's a member of the church and others that think that they want to help the church, that, you know, hey, we got a good train here. He built this train up. It's a strong train. It's a speedy train. It's a reliable train. It's a faithful train. And you guys want to get on the train.
Amen.
And we're going to get this figured out. Pastor Hugh's going to help us get a pastor in here. We're going to get a shepherd. I pray, and I have all the hope and faith in the Lord, that it's going to be the exact man that God chooses, and is going to be perfectly right for everything that we need. And on that note, dear Father in heaven, Lord, I just pray for the shepherd that we need, Lord. I just give you praise and thanks because you showed me what a true service heart is. Every time I looked at Pastor Storm, I knew. And I just ask for forgiveness, God, because I have not lived up to the standard that he showed me and he set. I just ask for me, Lord, personally, that you help me. Help me that I can attain to that level, Lord. Help me, keep me strong in the Bible. Keep us all strong in the Bible, that we read the Bible. And Lord, just help us to follow the example that Pastor Storm set so well for us. Thank you for sending that servant to help us. And thank you for taking him to heaven where there is no pain and there's only joy. And if he's up there at all, if he could pray for us, I know he's still doing that. He was so competitive, and you know the rapture's coming soon. Jesus is coming soon. And he was so competitive, I think he just had to get up there before us. And just give you praise and thanks, Lord. Thank you for sending your son to be our Savior. Lord Jesus, thank you for washing us with your blood. Thank you for loving us first. In your precious name we pray for all things and say amen.
Amen.
I'll be quick. I know we all miss Pastor Storm, and we had a good bond. You taught me a lot. That wasn't supposed to happen. He taught me a lot. He helped me get back on the right path with Christ. Okay. My parents have been a big help in the church family. You can't talk about Pastor Storm without talking about Jesus. That's no joke. He worked for God. He was a godly man. He built his life on God. He spent his life trying to mirror Jesus Christ. And he just touched so many lives, and I thank God for him. He'd always put some stuff on us all the time, and he'd always say, great job. He wouldn't offer a whole lot of correction. Sometimes he wouldn't offer any at all. He'd just say, great job. Very positive. And the two things that really touched me a lot. His quirks that he always had. He had a few key phrases, and I'll end on this. What we need to understand here is that meant wake up. This part of the message is important, and it was. It was. The other thing. I don't think there was a person he met. He didn't say, hey, I got one question for you. And I can't let any of you get out of this building without asking. If you were to die today, where would you go? Pastor Hughes preached the message, you know, heard some hands raised. Please get with us. We'll give you the key, the road, the map.
Yeah.
If you were to die today, where would you go? Because that's important, because that day's coming. And that's super important. Ecclesiastes, at the end of the book of Ecclesiastes, 13-14, I wasn't going to do a scripture, but at the end of the 13, verse 13 and 14, Ecclesiastes 12, it tells you judgment. God's going to judge everybody, whether you believe it or not. The time's coming. He's going to judge us. Where are you at? Are you with God? Have you accepted his gift of Jesus Christ's blood?
Yeah.
Please accept it and let us know. We'll help you.
Let's stand for the closing prayer.
Father God, thank you so much for the life of Pastor Dale Storm. Everybody he's reached, everybody he's touched, their lives. Just thank you so much for that. Help us to carry on. for you, God. Help us to carry on for you the way Pastor carried on. Help us to reach lost souls and to bring them home so that we can all join with Pastor Storm in heaven and worship at your feet, God. And we just praise you for everything you've done for us. Keep us safe as we go out of here. I pray for this country. I pray for law enforcement. I pray for families, churches, everywhere. I want to lift up the president and his wife. And I just want to pray for this country that we can bring it back under your name, God. As we go out of here, keep us safe. And we pray this in your son Jesus' holy name. Amen.